Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of Banking Reinvented, the podcast for changemakers in banking. And today, we're going to continue. We have Jouk here again in the show. Jouk, good to see you.
Hello.
Welcome back. And before anything else, we maybe first need to take a pulse check on the markets, because last week in AI was massive. The big tech announcements, Google, OpenAI. What have we seen?
Overwhelming, Tim, right? Like, whoa, what a stuff. Like, it is, I think everybody sees it, but like the Google announcement, the OpenAI announcements, I'm just flabbergasted to see how fast these things go. And I'm almost a little bit scared, because I think, like, if this is happening in 6 months, what's going to happen in 6 years, right? So maybe this is going to plateau. Maybe this is going to accelerate in its speed. Few takeaways. I think Google, I found them very brave to basically reinvent themselves with AI mode. You know, the billions of revenue and profit that run through the search engine, it is still 65% of their total revenue. So for them to basically attack that and attack themselves, take the bull by the horns and run it in AI mode, I think that's huge. Very interesting to see. But there's also so many other technologies inside Google, so they are getting more diversified. And maybe that's not the main topic for this podcast, but for me, the key takeaway is kind of they are reinventing themselves. And they have they're taking the bull by the horns to basically reinvent their core business, which is a major risk, right? So I think that is inspiring to Backbase, that is inspiring to most of the banks, I would say, because in many ways, it's not only Google that has to reinvent itself, but it is software companies that need to reinvent themselves and banks as well.
Yeah, yeah, as well as the engineering updates that they shared, which were quite broad and deep, I would say, from the Google side. Yeah. I think especially the upgrade that they gave to Copilot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like you mean on the software development lifecycle. Yeah, I think like across the whole range of players, from OpenAI to Claude to Google, I think it becomes very clear that software programming and software development is completely being transformed by this technology. So initially, maybe people were thinking it's the call centers, it's the copywriters. Yes, of course, the researchers. But like, yeah, software programming language are structured languages, and it becomes very clear. So we're in the middle of that as well with Backbase, where we see you have to reimagine the total core process of how do you do requirements gathering, how do you kind of define the scope of software you want to build, how do you do the test scripts and the data sets. The whole process of how you traditionally would make software is basically at this moment reinvented, and that is accelerating super fast.
Massively, because what they were showing is that you basically have a whole range of agents available that will pick up your GitHub issues, and you could actually allocate and assign it to an agent who would then start doing the work, as well as putting a pull request in, doing the testing, and so forth and so forth. The demo actually flunked, it didn't work, it's live, which was fun to see, but nevertheless, it will get there. And also, now there's already real examples where this is actually in flight.
Yeah.
But again, if the pace is this pace, then we're up for something big.
Maybe to share something with the audience. Like, I think there's two approaches. Like, people are kind of, in a way, reinventing the same process they have today with agents. But then, so that's basically, you're not fundamentally rethinking how you make software, but you're kind of basically augmenting your existing process with existing steps and existing roles of people. And yes, that's a way. I think there's also going to be a way where you completely reimagine. So let me give you an example. Like, we've seen demos with Google where you do not need Figma anymore. So you're not going to do high fidelity or low fidelity prototyping. You just make a sketch and it will generate. So that basically has a very profound impact on how to do prototyping, right? So I think there's also a point to be made that, some of these things will become completely different.
For sure. And then the final one, which I at least personally enjoyed, the OpenAI announcement with Johnny Ive and Sam Altman. Yeah. They went to a pub in San Francisco. I'm still not sure what
the bromance. Yeah, it was a little.
It was a bit deep, and the photography looks like Steve Jobs. But nevertheless, what is your initial thinking of the
Well, it's basically a big clue about what is the role of hardware. I think they didn't, of course, display that yet. You see all sorts of rumors, but it's either with glasses or a different form factor. But I think I would be very curious to see what type of new form factor will emerge. You know, I think it's either it's going to be nothing or it's going to be profound. So that's also intriguing just to see.
According to the video, it is very profound.
Of course.
Wait and see. All right. Then, of course, Jouk, 3 weeks ago, we launched the AI-powered banking platform. We also launched the AI factory and basically went all the way on the AI wave. Very exciting. What are your observations over the past few weeks? What has the market told you? What are you hearing?
I think there's a lot of pent-up demand, so there's a lot of curiosity. Couple of lessons. One, everybody is in full agreement that in order to really capture the value of all the AI power, the machine learning, the agentic AI, getting clean data is just continuously to be one of the major topic points. Like, how do we organize ourselves as a bank to make sure that we can really capture the value? So I think also this whole rule of garbage in, garbage out is extremely true. So both in the quality of the data, the cleansing of the data, but also the quality of the knowledge documents, people start to really become super clear that it's a quality story there. So it's a no-regret move to invest in quality data. It's a no-regret move to capture your knowledge, your know-how into profound, deep quality documents. You know, that's the fuel to drive forward. And then, of course, I think agentic is the way forward. Agentic, I think, in my mind, is the game changer because it means that every role in software development, but also in how we run the call center, how we do underwriting, how we do ongoing customer due diligence, like pretty much every process, every task will be redefined through the lens of agentic AI. And of course, there you need to capture having the right data, having the right access to the right backend systems. So in a way, another major point is that we see actually how important Grand Central is to make sure that you can integrate with your backend core systems. You can integrate with your CRM, with your payment rails, with your fraud analysis tooling. You know, just having the AI is one thing, but making sure that the large language models and the agents have access to tools and applications. Super important.
So for the listeners who don't know, Grand Central is, in the case of Backbase, our integration platform as a service, which by the way universally holds true. You need an integration layer to bring, you know, everything that you have together in one single layer to then basically enrich the data and bring the knowledge into the context of the agent. And what's the zeitgeist from the audience? Like, next to curiosity, do you also feel that there's resistance on the other end?
I don't see a lot of resistance. Maybe it's self-selecting, right? But I think people are open. My overall conclusion, it is still early days, very early on, because like most people are just in high-level prototyping. They have, you know, bank XYZ, GPT, so it's some basic, some knowledge base, etc. But like people now start to figure out, like we're kind of in this phase where we're now moving beyond these initial pilots into what are the high-impact AI use cases? Like, where do we see a real significant business case to drive efficiency or to do cross and upsell, etc.? So there you kind of see clear patterns. We now see categories where we talk about, okay, how can we help grow revenue, right? So that's kind of, you've got an install base, how do we increase the product holdings? It's a super clear domain, very big domain, lots of upside. Another one on the customer experience side, how can we reduce call center volume? How can we translate that into agents that are really interacting with the client and basically help you to reduce headcount in labor-intensive operations, like the call center, like the mid-office, like the back-office? So there's, I think, a lot of productivity gains there. But like those are, I'm talking about hundreds of processes you basically need to translate into agentic. The software development cycle we discussed earlier, there's thousands of engineers working in most of these banks. It can accelerate the way we develop software. It can accelerate the way we modernize legacy applications. Huge opportunity there as well. I think if you have 10x more productivity with agentic software development, maybe we now are at the point where we don't have to brute force it with labor, but we can basically accelerate application modernization at scale. And then I think finally the process automation. I think there's such a lot of synergy between the integration architecture. How do you integrate to backend systems? Then how do you kind of get the data into a data lake? And then how do you do agentic workflow, but also enterprise workflows, like that whole, those four layers together. I think it will be instrumental to reimagine every process inside the bank.
And that's exactly what we're going to be continued talking about here. Because the next part of this episode is to explore a little bit the notion of the unified banking suite, which is practically a concept that we brought to life with Backbase. So I think also for the audience, it's good to understand what's the vision behind it, what problem is it solving, should you care, if at all. And also to explore the blueprint so that even if you're going for it on your own, you understand the patterns and the principles behind it. So maybe for starters, Jouk, the unified banking suite, what problem does it solve?
I think it starts with the notion that banks aren't organized around internal teams or around products. So the banking structure are departments that are own products or their own channels. So I think the most profound insight already for the last 15 years with Backbase is that we have to start the other way around, outside in. We have to basically start with the customer, right? So it's basically a customer-centric architecture. So forget about products, forget about internal departments. How do we bring everything together from a customer point of view? So if you then look at a bank and how it's organized, we see, if you look, for instance, in onboarding and origination, you see a platitude of different products from software vendors, custom build, etc. But that in itself is already a siloed environment, typically organized per product. Then we go to daily banking. You know, there you would see different silos. Then we go to the mirror of daily banking, which is a human assist, another set of systems, more employee-oriented, the call center, the CRM, the branch, automation. And then we go to the part where we are working on the customer lifecycle value, the customer overall activation and expansion of the product holdings, yet another set of systems, marketing tools, marketing clouds, etc. I think the overall observation is that all these tools are basically purchased and owned by different departments in different eras. And we're basically duct taping them together to transform them somehow into an operating model that will service the customer. I think that is, we as Backbase said, like, we all know it's broken, but it's also very hard to decompose it and to get it right. So companies like Backbase already 10 years ago, I think, went on a mission to say, okay, how can we basically make sure that we are going for a single platform that has common capabilities so we can bring those four building blocks together in a single platform to really architect banking around the customer? So that is from onboarding to digital banking to the human assist to activation and expansion, all those capabilities as an integrated, unified suite on a single platform. Took us 10 years, but I'm very grateful we had kind of the persistence and the perseverance to kind of go through all the pain to arrive at a point where today, now, if you would build a bank from scratch or you would like to modernize a bank, you can really start with that platform. I think the good thing is that you don't have to do this in a big bang. You can just go progressively. You can take it piece by piece. So you can start with onboarding, you can move to daily banking, you can move to the digital and human assist. All those elements are basically progressively, you can unlock them. I think that's the bigger vision behind what we call the unified banking suite or the unified banking platform.
And if I listen correctly, then the two main domains that you're bringing together is how do you service your customers?
Yeah.
And how do you actually drive a sales function towards that population? So basically sales and servicing combined, which indeed typically are completely disparate solutions, teams, what have you.
Yeah.
Then tell me a little bit more about how this holistic unified suite together also allows you to go faster in the AI opportunity. Like, is there synergy there, or do you still just see it as, you know, your channels are better?
I think like the critical thing for the AI, imagine you have all the power now of large language models, agents, etc. Think about two scenarios. Scenario one is you're going to take all that AI power and you're going to kind of duct tape it into 50 different siloed applications. So I think at best, you're probably going to do some productivity gains in the context of these siloed applications. And I think some of that productivity, in all fairness, is very good to lock in, right? So for sure, but you can do it in this kind of, you know, siloed, kind of patched, duct tape type of environment, and you do it contextually. Or the alternative is where you say, okay, I have one single platform to orchestrate the customer lifetime value. And with that platform, I can basically automate, to your point, my most two critical overall activities. That is how to sell to customers, how to get them in, and how to expand my share of wallet, or how to service them. Servicing is basically cost to service. Sales is grow the top line, grow the bottom line, right? Those, in essence, is basically how you run a bank. So obviously, with a unified platform, all your data all your customer interactions is already running through a single platform. So it's basically at the ultimate crossroads where all the data sits. It is also at the ultimate crossroads where you can observe customer behavior. What is their frequency? What are their interaction patterns? What are they doing manually? What are they doing with agents? So you've got a more centralized view and control over your data, over your customer interactions, and all the business logic and the agentic logic that is orchestrating it. So obviously that model brings way more efficiency.
Now, if I now map it back to what we've seen in the market for the past decade, if you think about digital transformation, modernization, as it's been called the last 5 years, yeah. same label, different, same thing. Yeah. For the majority, I believe the servicing angle was the going in strategy almost. Let's do a new mobile app. Let's make it proper, let's say more efficient, effective. But it feels that latter angle, sales, was not really in place there. Does that resonate?
Yeah, I think people on the sales side, to double click on that, like, of course, people made investments in marketing clouds to help them with customer acquisition. I think that for most banks, they would argue like, hey, we have that in place and we made our investments. If you look at the actual possibility to do cross and upsell and increase product holdings, people are working on it, but I think we only have seen the beginning of what is possible. And if you truly look there at the potential, what you can do is that we now see a level of agents that basically analyze all the customer data. We also see traditional machine learning where we can categorize these customers. But traditionally, people had PhD type of data scientists. They were defining these customer segments, but they're doing it separately from the main servicing operation, right? So you've got the data, you've got the segments, but ironically, it's a little bit theoretically because you could never really execute on it. Or many banks are not very much able to execute on it at scale, yep, and to drive it to the, let's say, campaigns that interact at an individual NS1 type of level with an end customer. I think with platforms, unified banking platforms, where you have that data, where you have the algorithms, we can now generate campaigns at a level of one, like call it hyper-personalization, where you can really completely based on all the behavioral data, the transactional data of a particular customer, you can almost kind of predict when they are ready to go to the next segment. You can predict churn. But the big thing is it's not a theoretical exercise with a data team, but it is running in real time on the same platform, enabling you to do churn prevention in real time, enabling you to do cross and upsell in real time at scale. And I think that is like the next era, the new opportunity that is in front of us.
So in a way, that's, let's say, the one-size-fits-all model, which is the more dated model, where you have rigid applications, relatively static, moving now to, yeah, let's say, completely dynamic, hyper-personalized applications or experiences that are for, you know, Tim specifically as an individual in where I am in my life with the products I have and the capabilities I typically use on a day-to-day.
Let's do a bit of a reality check. I think you're right, but like if you do a reality check, there are so many banks out there where the servicing app is literally just a servicing app. And it is actually nothing more than a summary of a number of products you have, the transaction history, and do some money movement, and that's about it. And that's a 4 to 5 star servicing app. So let's be real, like it's just a servicing app, it's just cost to service, and there's no growth, and there's no sales enablement whatsoever. Right? So I think the step up here is like, okay, just like Facebook, just like Google, in these servicing apps, you have a lot of traffic. So how do you capitalize on that traffic? So, and again, similar to social media platforms and the Googles of this world, how do you create an engine that is interpreting all the data, the customer behavior, and then is driving cross and upsell on top of that? And I think that is kind of how do we move from servicing into growth orchestration, or how do we unlock growth mode directly in the heart of the daily-day servicing operation?
Yeah, and that connects to the discussion we just had, bringing those capabilities for revenue growth into the actual hands of end customers.
Yeah.
Which I think for starters, it means servicing them way better, right? That's where it starts.
Yeah.
That's on the customer engagement angle. Then following that, anything that you would do day-to-day with the bank, it needs to be super simple, super seamless. So that's the process efficiency angle.
Yeah.
So if you do open up a mortgage or you have an issue with a card or whatever, you're being serviced appropriately.
Yeah.
And that can certainly be with an agent, or it can be driven agentic, which is maybe not even visible to you. And that would be a human in the loop moment when needed. So that's a human assist angle. And then lastly, I think only then you can go for the revenue growth opportunity because you're actually servicing your customers well to begin with.
I think, of course, they also correlate. Great service results probably in greater cross and upsell and vice versa. So if you can onboard people and you can activate them, but if the servicing, et cetera, they correlate. I think if you look at the next 5 years, we're probably going to see some major different paradigm shifts or breakthroughs. I think on the servicing side, let's look back at online. It started with online banking, then it moved to mobile banking. I think we would not be surprised to see on the servicing side a new form factor. And that's probably going to be some GPT chat style type of, let's call it conversational banking. But that is going to happen. So conversational banking is a complete new form factor where you basically go into a conversation, a dialogue within your mobile banking application. So instead of pushing 5 times on your mobile app to get somewhere, you push a single button, you ask the command, and then the agent in the background will orchestrate that demand for you. So it's a new form factor and it could be profound. So that's the first thing. I think also in the servicing side, we're going to see the rise of financial coaches or advisors. There has been a lot of talk about it, but so far it was more like wishful thinking. But I do think we are going to arrive at a point where you can actually really talk with your banking app and it will give you proper advice about your financial situation. Of course, there will be the guardrails. It needs to be in line with the regulators. We need to kind of grow into a level of comfort. But like, I think the new form factor, which is conversationally and through financial coach, I think we're going to arrive at that point. And that's going to be the next level up for servicing. Then if we go to the other equation, which is sales, let's call it so, the digital banking application will become an e-commerce platform. That basically means the shopping center comparing products, smart agents that will give you the right recommendations at the right time, and of course the cross and upsell. So there will be a whole new notion of how are we adding this e-commerce component of the shopping center, the product comparison, the cross and upsell, ultimately driving product holdings and basically building primacy for the bank. That's going to be another breakthrough area. Basically untapped potential for most banks that are just doing servicing. So I think those two things are probably in store for most of us in the next 5 years.
Yeah. Going back to today, where would you argue, let's say, our customers typically start today? Because it's big out vision. What are the ingredients that you would typically say, hey, take these steps, take these considerations, these are the key principles to get things off the ground? What's a practical piece of advice you would share?
I think it's really contextual depending on the customer. We always go in and we kind of basically do a, you know, a baseline type of analysis where they are. I think if you would talk more generically about where the industry is, I think first I would say like, maybe take a domain that is about to be transformed. So let's say commercial banking or private banking that maybe has been trailing your retail transformation, you know, where you kind of feel, you know, that is just one strategy, but just pick a domain out of everything. Like you can pick in the retail, private, commercial, business banking, like pick a domain where you have a lot of urgency to change. I think in some of these domains, you can actually leapfrog some of the first or second generation digital transformation efforts. And you can immediately now go to a single unified platform. And from day one, you can configure a common data foundation. From day one, you can implement agentic. So I think that's kind of basically you look for brownfield areas that are really end of life cycle. And then you're going to you say, I have to move anyhow, right? It's end of life cycle. So let's go there. So in a way, you kind of follow the pain in your organization. So that's one pattern. I think the other pattern is where you say, I want to kind of basically lean in and I want to be a front runner. So there, I think like the front runners will, for instance, in the retail domain, they will look at conversational banking. We have lots of dialogues with people that are the front runners and they basically say this form factor is coming. I'm not going to wait for it. I want to lead in my market and I want to differentiate with it. They also accept that, you know, maybe some of these investments need to be adjusted a little bit down the road when the market is maturing. So that's happening there. And on, I think another one is kind of basically driving the customer lifetime orchestration, as in customer lifetime value optimization. I really think that is a no-brainer for areas where you have a proper mobile banking platform, you have the traffic. I think it's a very logical candidate to start working on capitalizing on these sales and e-commerce opportunities.
Yeah. So in a way of saying there's two patterns for now that we're discussing. One, somewhere in the organization where you need to make a move anyhow, you're behind the curve. So you can even leapfrog compared to the benchmark or compared to the market. I also personally think that's a major opportunity. And secondarily, basically, if you want to lean in and if you want to be ambitious, then there are pockets where you basically see the biggest leverage of where you can make an impact.
I think those are the big ones, right? There's smaller stuff where you say, okay, for instance, in process efficiency, let's solve the call center problem, or let's focus on customer due diligence, or let's focus on... So this is, I would say, more specific journeys, where you say journey by journey, let's augment or let's transform or upgrade these journeys. And I think also those specific journeys can have a very significant ROI as well.
So in a way, you can start as small or as big as you would like, given what you can digest, given where your ambition is, the investment appetite. Cool, then we're going to go to a bit of a summary, Jouk. So this this episode theme was very much about discussing the unified banking suite. I think overall the main headline is outside in versus inside out, right? Yeah. So this is very much an outside in architectural view on the world, meaning if I'm a customer, I don't want to be bothered with the fact that you have disparate channels or maybe some dated systems or integration hassles. Like, that's not my issue. So I really want to have an experience that, you know, is second to none. So that's that, let's say, level of highlight. The second part that we discussed was the sales and servicing's view on the suite, meaning bringing those two main capabilities of your bank together under one roof is what's going to allow you to really drive meaningful progress. We didn't make the statement that you can't do it, let's say, at point solution level, right? That is definitely something that you can go for, but it's a lot of hassle. You'll have a lot of integration work. So basically, that was the part that we discussed there. And then lastly, we wrapped up saying that the main opportunities in those domains are, within the sales angle, is the e-commerce for banking. How do you really drive growth, just like you would see in comparable players? And then lastly, in servicing, it's conversational banking, the financial holistic coach that really will help you become, you know, more sufficient in your financial daily dealings. Anything you would add, Jouk?
Yeah, while you are summarizing it, I just realized like that the notion of system integration, the fact that we had to do so much system integration in the last 40 years, and it's an industry with billions and billions of dollars in revenue. I think that's kind of basically Achilles heel of banking, because we're always forced to buy point solutions and then we had to do system integration. And I think we've been spending 70% of our IT budgets on system integration. And I think system integration is basically an extremely, we were forced as an industry to do it because there was no holistic solution. If you would have had a holistic unified integration solution, you would never go for point solutions. You would take something that is pre-integrated. But like over time, there was only one choice. And I think that is the big change with a unified platform. You're going to attack all of that bespoke system integration logic. It was very expensive to build in the first place and then very expensive to maintain. And now it's basically blocking you from moving forward and modernizing it. So I think that is the I think that's the most foundational problem we are facing as an industry. We have so much bespoke. It's almost like crazy. If I go to an exhibition or a conference in the US, you still see hundreds of different vendors each providing their own solution. It feels almost like there's WordPerfect, there's Lotus 1-2-3, and there's like all these different point solutions. And hey, there's Microsoft with the Microsoft Office suite, and these things really work together, and the platform will take care of all that system and integration work. You don't have to think about it anymore. To me, that's the best metaphor. Like, hey, do we want to continue on that path of continue spending billions on billions on system integration, or do we simplify that and outsource that? I think ultimately that all moves into industrialized platforms in the cloud that will take care of this.
Yeah. With that, we're going to sign off. Thanks, Jouk. See you next week. Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.